Psalm 130 is our text, and we'll look at it and read it in just a moment. Delighted to be with you. Let's bow together and ask the Lord's blessing upon our service today. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great and sovereign mercy unto us. We pray that you will bless us in the study of thy word, the preaching of the gospel, and that you'd be magnified in all things. We pray for Brother Paul as he preaches in Georgia. We pray for the services there. We pray for the services in Pikeville, that you'd be pleased to bless the services there. And Lord, we look to you this morning to bless us here. And in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, we give thanks. Amen. Psalm 130. Let's read, beginning the first verse, Psalm 130. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark, count iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But, here's this big word in Scripture, but there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared, worshipped, reverenced in our heart. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more anticipation, more joy, more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel, God's covenant people, God's spiritual people, let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy. With the Lord. Psalm 130. With the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is plenteous redemption. He is our great Redeemer, and He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. What good news we have for us in this blessed psalm. I'm entitling the message, The Experience of Grace. The Experience of Grace. I think this is a description of the salvation that God is pleased to work in us. The experience of grace, or the experience of salvation. Now we know, here's what we know, that a mere religious experience of feelings or excitement is not salvation. That's not salvation. You can have all kind of religious emotions and experience, but that's not true salvation. But let me say this. The salvation by the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ is certainly something that we do partake of. It is certainly something that in our heart we do experience firsthand. It's God dealing with us in a most personal way in saving mercy. It is certainly something that we do experience in our heart, this saving mercy, in our life, and in our soul. You remember the Apostle Paul writing to the Philippians, he said, being confident of this very thing, that God, who hath begun a good work in you, He will finish it. Salvation's a work of Christ in your heart. Christ in you is the hope of glory. You see, salvation, it's more than just a profession. It's more than just a confession. Although it is, we do confess Christ as our only hope of salvation. But this salvation by the grace of God is an invasion. It's an invasion. It's God invading your heart, your mind, your soul, your will, your understanding, your affection. It affects the whole you. When God invades your heart, revealing unto us the blessedness of the Savior to you who believe, oh, He is precious. He is precious. To you who believe, He is the Lord Jesus Christ altogether. He is altogether lovely. We see the blessedness of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. And we also see the vileness, the ugliness of our own sinful nature that we still have. I can identify, and I know every believer can, with the Apostle Paul when he says, "Oh, wretched man that I am." I am. Now this Psalm, Psalm 130, begins with a cry in the heart of the believer. "Out of the depths have I cried unto thee." And then it ends with complete a confidence and complete assurance of all sin forgiven. Look at verse 8. "He shall redeem Israel from all his sin." A cry of the heart and then great assurance. Yes, there is mercy with the Lord. Now let's look at verse 1 and 2. "Out of the depths." Out of the depths of depravity, out of the depths of my sin, out of the depths of my wicked heart, "I have cried unto thee, O Lord." Lord, Lord, hear my cry. You read through the Psalms how many times David begs God, "Lord, hear my cry. Be attentive to the voice of my supplications. Let thine ears be attentive unto the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand?" Now here we see the conviction of sin, which leads us, the conviction of sin doesn't leave us in despair. It causes us to cry out unto the Lord for mercy. For mercy. Here's the conviction of sin and the cry of the heart unto the Lord. And my friend, this is what we call the pattern of grace, the pattern of salvation. The Lord makes us to know that we are guilty, guilty before the Lord, that we are sinners in His sight. We call this Holy Spirit conviction. Then it leads us to this. It leads us to cry for mercy. We'll never cry for mercy until we know that we have need of mercy. We'll never cry out in our heart for salvation until God teaches us that we are sinners in His sight. We'll never cry for pardon from sin until we know that we are indeed guilty before the Lord. That's what David cried over here. Turn over here to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. "Have mercy upon me, O God." Psalm 51, verse 1, you remember? "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgression." Now, if David didn't know he was a transgressor, that he had sinned against God, he wouldn't have cried out for mercy. But God revealing unto him his sinfulness and convicting him of his sin, he cried unto the Lord for mercy. You see that? There has to be a stripping before there is a clothing. There has to be an emptying of us before the Lord is pleased to fill us. God does bring us to see the depths of our sin. Now, not totally and not fully, but He does bring us to know that we are sinners. But He does not leave us in the depths of despair. Not despair. Because He causes us to look unto Him for mercy. He causes us to cry unto Him for mercy. He causes us to come unto Him for mercy. Oh, everyone that is thirsty? Come. All you who are laboring and heavy laden, the Lord said, come, come. Come unto me and rest, rest. Like the publican in the temple, Lord, have mercy upon me, the sinner. You know the Lord in, I know you've studied through the book of Hebrews, but I love that 16th verse of chapter 4. Seeing that we have a great high priest, he said, come boldly. Come boldly to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy. Not earn it. That you may obtain mercy and find grace to help. Grace to help in time of need. When is that? All the time. All the time. When the Lord is pleased to convict us of our sin and to show us what we are in His sight, we will cry for mercy. And this is not an isolated act, a one-time experience. This is the heart cry of the believer. Looking unto the Lord, coming unto the Lord, believing Him. Repentance and faith is not an isolated experience. It's the life of the believer. We do look unto Him. We do cry unto Him. It's not just something we do. It's what we do. Looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. This ought to encourage every needy sinner to cry unto the Lord for mercy. I've never read one time in the Word of God where a mercy beggar came unto the Lord asking for mercy and calling upon the Lord was ever turned away. Blind Bartimaeus sat by the wayside begging. His friend told him to hush. Why don't you just hush? You know, the Lord Jesus doesn't have any time for you. And he cried out, Lord, have mercy upon me. And again they said, just hush. And it says, the Lord stood still. Had mercy upon that blind man. And he received his sight. A cry of mercy. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That ought to encourage every one of us to call upon Him. To look to Him. To come to Him. To rest in Him. To find salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember the leper in Matthew chapter 8 came down and fell before the Lord and worshipped Him. And said, Lord, if you will, you can make me whole. If you will. Remember what the Lord said? He reached out and touched him. And he said, I will, be thou clean. Be thou clean. If you will. What a great, great, merciful Lord that we serve. He is plenteous in redemption. He's rich in mercy upon all those that call upon Him. I'm going to call. I'm going to call upon the Lord. Now look at verse 3. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Who shall stand? Here we see the confession of a repentant heart. And here's what we see. Taking God's side against myself. Guilty before God. Guilty before God. Upon my merit, upon my works, upon my righteousness, I cannot stand. I cannot approach God upon any merit of my own. No sinner can stand. You remember from Psalm 24, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in His holy place? He that had clean hands and a pure heart, who's never lifted up his soul unto vanity. To stand before God, we must have a perfect, holy righteousness in which to stand. In and of myself, I have none. I can produce none. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, I like what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, that he counted everything else, loss, dung, and ruin, that I might win Christ and be found in Him. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faithfulness
of the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation based upon His faithfulness, His obedience, not ours. Not ours.
So here's a confession of faith. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? Only those in Christ Jesus. In the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 4. If thou, Lord, shouldest charge me with my sin, I cannot stand. Thou shouldest mark my iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? I can't stand. I can't stand. Only those in Christ, made righteous and justified in the Lord Jesus Christ. But, here's what we see. But, that's a glorious word, isn't it? But, you remember from Ephesians chapter 2, where it talks about everything that we are, by nature, children of wrath, even as others. And then it said, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sin, and hath quickened us together with Christ Jesus, and made us to sit together in the heavenlies in the Lord Jesus Christ. But God. That's our hope. That's our hope. God Almighty. God our Savior. But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. That thou mayest be worshipped. Here's our confession of faith, isn't it? Blessed is that man. You remember the blessed man? Turn over to Psalm 32. Psalm 32. You remember who the blessed man is? But with thee there is forgiveness. Psalm 32, look at verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Now that's the blessed man. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile, no hypocrisy. But there is forgiveness with thee. God is rich in mercy. In the Lord Jesus Christ there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. I like that scripture over in Ephesians chapter 1. Where it talks about everything we are is by His grace. He's blessed us in Christ according to the praise of the glory of His grace. And then it says in verse 6, we're accepted in the Beloved. And then it says in verse 7, in whom we have right now. We have redemption through His blood. The forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace. There is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest really be worshipped. Those who are forgiven of all their sin. Now think about this. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. So powerful and prevailing and precious is the blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ that God Almighty said their sin and their iniquity, well, I remember no more. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He separated our sins from us. Those who know the blessedness of the blessed work of the blessed Savior, they do in spirit and in truth worship Him. We worship Him for all that He is, for all that He has done, for all that He is doing, for all that He ever will do. We worship Him in spirit and in truth. There is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Now, here's what we see. The fruit of forgiveness. All your sins forgiven. What's the fruit of that in our heart? Well, what's the expression of our heart because of complete forgiveness, completely justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in the Lord Jesus Christ? What's the fruit of that in our heart? What? Gratitude, isn't it? Thankfulness and love unto Him that thou mayest be feared. Gratitude, reverence unto the Lord and worship. Gratitude for pardon.
produces far more reverence than all the dread inspired by fear of punishment or promise of reward. Oh, I tell you, we worship Him. You see, it's the love of Christ. It's the love of Christ that constrains us. It's not fear of punishment, nor is it promise of reward. It's the love of Christ. Here is love. Not that we loved Him, but He loved us and sent His Son to be the sacrifice for our sin. For our sin. We love Him because He first loved us. This is the fruit of forgiveness, is gratitude. Remember the words of the Lord in Luke 7, to whom much is forgiven, the same loveth much. Oh, we have all our sin forgiven, blotted out in the thick cloud, cast behind His back, put in the depths of the sea. What does that do to you? What does that do for you? Oh, it inspires you to worship. It inspires you to thankfulness. It inspires you to love Him and to be thankful unto Him. Look at verse 5 and 6. Here we see the believer's firm resolve to wait and hope. To wait and hope. We wait on the Lord with the certain expectation of hope. We have an everlasting consolation and a good hope through grace. It's a good hope. Now, He's worth waiting upon. We're encouraged all the way through the psalm, wait upon the Lord. And again I say, wait upon the Lord. We get in trouble when we try to make things happen. No, my friend, just pray, seek the Lord's will, and wait upon the Lord. His will be done. We're taught to pray in Scripture, not our will, but Thy will be done. Wait, I say, upon the Lord. And wait with hope. Wait with hope. We have a good hope through the grace of God. We wait with assurance of hope based upon the promise. Look what it says there in verse 5. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait in His Word. In His Word. Not my feelings. Not my emotions. We wait and we hope because of the promise of His Word. That's it, isn't it? The promise of His Word. We wait with assurance based upon the promise of His Word. God said, it is impossible for me to lie. His Word is certain and sure. All the promises of God in Him are yes. And in Him, amen, unto the glory of God in Christ Jesus. We wait upon God with a certain expectation that everything God has promised will come to pass. I'm persuaded, aren't you? What persuasion are you? You ever heard somebody ask that question? What persuasion are you? I'm persuaded. This is my persuasion. Abraham was fully persuaded that all that God promised, He is able to perform. That's my persuasion. I'm persuaded that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my persuasion. Next time somebody asks you, what's your persuasion? Give them that answer. God is able to do all things. His Word cannot fail. Because it says in Scripture, He cannot fail. This just comes to my mind. Joshua, who's a picture of our Joshua, the Lord Jesus Christ. Joshua's last words upon his deathbed was this. I think it's Joshua chapter 23. Of all that God had promised, not one word will fail. Of all that God has promised, not one word will fail. It is safe. It is safe ground. It is good ground to trust the promise of His Word. To trust all that He said. You'll never go wrong believing, thus saith the Lord. It is always safe and right to believe all the promises of the gospel revealed in the Word of God. It is safe, it is right, it is good. He said He will have mercy upon whom He will have mercy. We can believe His promise. He says in the Word of God that He died for the ungodly. We can believe His promise. It says in the Word that He came to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. We can believe His promise. Saving faith takes God at His Word. You see, the foundation, now the object of faith is Christ. But the foundation of faith is the Word of God. You remember that song? I know your pastor's quoted it. Martin Luther's hymn that he wrote, or the poem that he wrote. Feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the Word of God. Nothing else is worth believing. Though all my heart should feel condemned for want of some sweet token, I trust one who is greater than my heart, whose Word cannot be broken. So it is safe and right to wait upon the Lord, to hope in Him, because the Word of His oath cannot fail. Cannot fail. In verse 7 and 8, we see the joyful expectation of faith. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy. There is mercy. With the Lord there is mercy. And with Him, and in Him is plenteous redemption. And He shall, not maybe, not could be, call His name Jesus. He shall save His people from their sin. I like the will and shall of the Word of God. They shall be my people. I will be their God, and they shall follow me. He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. With the Lord there is mercy. Brother Henry brought a message on the radio this morning about the believer's hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassion, His love does not fail. It's not the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Let us hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is plenteous redemption. The redemption we have in Christ Jesus is particular for His covenant people. It is powerful. It is effectual unto His covenant people. The blood of Christ cleanses from all sin. We're not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do have, think about this, the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ is not an attempt to put away sin. We don't have a theory of atonement. We have an atonement. It's not an attemptment. It's an atonement. We have a Redeemer who really does redeem. Who really did redeem all of His covenant people, of which He said, none shall be lost. I love to tell people about the effectual, particular, glorious redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anything else is not good news. Anything else is not good news. We have a Redeemer that really does redeem. We have a Savior who really does save His people. He's able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by Him, seeing that He ever lived to make intercession for us. What good news we have! You see, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is just not good advice. Is it? It's good news. It's good news. The Lord Jesus Christ did by Himself. I like that scripture in Hebrews 1, verse 3. when he had by himself purged, get a hold of that, when he, who you see, it's who he is. It's who he is. God bought us with his own blood. It's who he is that gives effectual power to what he did. It's just not the blood of some Jewish man. It's the blood of the God-man mediator. God bought us with his own blood when he had by himself, who is the brightness of his image, the express image of his glory. When he had by himself purged our sin, he sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. Why did he sit down? Done. Salvation is done. Done. It's not due. It's done. Our Lord, we're going to see this in the Bible, in the Bible message again, in the worship service from John chapter 9. When our Lord Jesus Christ, the first recorded words in Scripture from Luke chapter 2, you remember? He's just 12 years old. In the temple, he said, I must be about my Father's business. Remember? And then the last words that he said from the cross, it is finished. I must be about my Father's business. It is finished. He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquity. You see, with the Lord, there is endless hope. Endless hope. The hope we have, it's an eternal hope. It's an eternal hope. With the Lord, there is endless hope. Without Him, there is a hopeless end. With the Lord Jesus Christ, there is endless life. He said, I'm come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. The Lord Jesus Christ gives us, He said, that my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and I give unto them everlasting life. With the Lord Jesus Christ, there is endless life. There is endless hope. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a lifeless end. It's to die and die and die in eternal darkness and condemnation and never die. Never die. But there is forgiveness with Him in Christ Jesus. But of Him, I'll close with this. But of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Everything that God demands of me is fully provided in Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Christ is our wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. According that, the last verse of that chapter, that, according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. I like that Psalm 34. Psalm 34, verse 1 and following, it says, my soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. And be glad. We do boast in the Lord. As the Apostle Paul said, God forbid we should glory. God forbid we should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have a good hope. We have a good hope in Christ Jesus.